My dear brother priests and deacons, sisters and brothers in Christ, in recent times, the church has spent a lot of time talking about the importance of enculturation, which is bringing the gospel to various cultures and then bringing those various cultures into the life of the church. Because we believe that Jesus has revealed himself to us in the gifts of the cultures that we're part of. And because of that, on special occasions like today, we highlight different cultural groups within the church, within the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And today we celebrate the unique gifts of the African American, the Black community, the African community, into the life of our parishes and our archdiocese. It's very important for us to know, however, that the best of our culture is not the music, even though it's very beautiful. I'm grateful to the choir. It isn't the unique colors of the cloth, the vestments that we wear. The best example of enculturation in the life of the church is always its saints. If we want to know what an African Catholic is like, we look to the saints, and in this particular case, St. Martin de Porres. He was a South American, but nonetheless, in some ways the patron, at least in this community of Philadelphia, of the gift of the Black culture to the Catholic Church. So the thing I encourage you to do today is to be like this man, whose image is here in the sanctuary. A saint of the church. A man who had a difficult life. You know, St. Martin de Porres was born illegitimate. His father didn't recognize him or acknowledge him. He was raised by a single mother. He lived in poverty. And yet, despite all those difficulties, and they were a great burden for him, as they are for people today, his heart was not full of bitterness, but of love. And what he teaches us is that his title, he was known to the people of his day as Martin of Charity, should be the title that would characterize each one of us in our life of the church, in the church. You need to be Martha or Mary or Richard or James of Charity. And if we do that, we in very, very special ways bring the gift of our culture to the life of the church. So I expect nothing less of you than that you be saints. Okay? And that's no laughing matter, although we all laugh about it, because it's what God desires for each one of us, that we be saints. And that's how we conquer the world. That's how we end prejudice. That was one of the great insights of Dr. Martin Luther King. He said when he was protesting the injustice in American culture that we have to love the people who oppose us, and they have to know that we love them. So we need to be known as Christians of charity. On this feast that we celebrate in this cathedral today, the church has given us scripture readings that don't really correspond at all to the celebration of St. Martin de Porres, but they're God's gift to us. So I ask you now, go with me into the mystery of today's scripture readings, and we'll find in these readings a gift for ourselves. Today is the 32nd Sunday of the church year. You know, the church year ends right before the season of Advent begins. And the church year ends in the Northern Hemisphere as the world around us is dying. The autumn of the year reminds us of the autumn of our lives. The days are getting shorter, they're getting colder, the leaves are falling off the trees, and we have a sense that the world around us is dying. And the church has always understood the importance of the knowledge of death being part of our living if we truly want to live as Christians. We live with one eye on the present world that God has given us. But if we want to truly be happy, we also have to live with one eye on the world that is to come. And the church is beginning in its Sunday readings to help us to think that way. Someone once said that the church is a place where we go to learn how to die. What do you think of that? I think it's true. If we want to have a happy death, and it can be happy for someone who's a believer, we have to learn how to live our lives in Jesus Christ. So in some real sense, the church is the place we do go to learn how to live and how to die. Today's first reading is taken from the oldest writings in the New Testament, the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. And St. Paul is responding to a question in the community. The apostles had been preaching about Jesus' death and resurrection from the dead. But it seems there was one question that was incomplete in the apostolic preaching, and that's what happens to the rest of us. You know, the people were waiting for Jesus to come again, but some of the Christians had begun to die, and they began to ask the question, what's going to happen to these fellow Christians of ours who die before the coming of Jesus? And it's to that question that St. Paul gives an answer in today's reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. He says to us, "We do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, about those who have fallen asleep, so that you might not grieve like the rest, those who have no hope." And in Jesus' time, the time of the apostles, there were a lot of people who had no hope about life after death. There were various theories. Some believed that once you die, that's all there is. You go out of existence. You're completely annihilated at the moment you die. Others believed in what was referred to as the transmigration of souls, that our souls move from one body to another, much like the Hindus believe today. You know, that after this life, there'll be another life in this world. If we live good lives, we will rise higher. If we live bad lives, we'll go down lower. But we just live this life over and over and over and over again. And among the Jews, there was no confidence about eternal life. They had some vague notion of life in Hades, in the netherworld, in Sheol, which was kind of a dark and shadowy place. But the place where human beings were rewarded was this life. And it's in this life that we're punished for our sins. A sign that you're a good person is that you have a long life, a big family, a lot of money, and prestige. And if you had none of those, you were being punished by God for something that you did or that your family did. But that's not what the church believes. St. Paul tells us in this reading the faith of the church, which is that in Jesus Christ, who died and rose from the dead, you and I find our future, that we die with him and we rise with him to newness of life. Do you believe that? Do you think very much about your death? Those of us who are getting older, like myself, we have no choice. Our death is before us always. But those who are younger sometimes never think of death at all. They think they're invincible. But I think one of the reasons why older people tend to go to church regularly and get more serious about life is because they're aware that we're all going to die. And what's going on now is a brief moment in the good things that God has planned for those who love him. The faith of the church is expressed in the preface that we pray at funeral masses. I imagine most of us have been to funeral masses. You probably remember these words because they're very beautiful, and they capture the faith of the church. This is what we pray at a funeral mass. Lord, for your faithful people, life is changed, not ended. When the body of our earthly dwelling lies in death, we gain an everlasting dwelling place in heaven. That's what the church believes. Well, the church is a place where we come to learn how to die. And the way we learn those lessons is to listen to the Word of God. Today's first reading is from the Book of Wisdom, which is the newest book of the Old Testament. You know, 1 Thessalonians is the oldest book of the New Testament. The Book of Wisdom, otherwise known as the Wisdom of Solomon, is the newest book of the Old Testament, written about 50 years before the birth of Jesus. And it was written to strengthen the faith of the Jewish people who were living in pagan lands, who were living among unbelievers, probably in Egypt. And so the Book of Wisdom would also be written for who? For those of us who are serious about being Christians, because we also live where? In a pagan land. You know, our country is becoming more pagan all the time. There are fewer believers. We have grown a long way distant from the Christian origins of our country in some ways. And so these words are words for us. And what the author of Wisdom is saying to you and to me today is you better be wise or you will lose your faith. Ask God for the gift of wisdom, which is really very close to us if we just open our eyes. Listen to the words. Resplendent and unfailing is wisdom, and she is readily perceived by those who love her. So if we love wisdom, if we want to have wisdom, wisdom's available for us in a ready kind of way. And she is found by those who seek her. She hastens to make herself known in anticipation of their desires. So God is telling us here, if we want wisdom, we just have to look around. And wisdom wants to make herself known to us if we truly desire her. What is wisdom? Wisdom is understanding what is right, what is true, and what is lasting. What counts? In other words, it's to see the world around us as God sees the world, not as the world sees itself. To know what is true, what is good, and what's important, what is lasting. And in order to enhance this reading, the church has given us this passage from the Gospel of St. Matthew, which is that wonderful story of the 10 young women waiting for the coming of the bridegroom. To understand this reading, we have to understand the culture of Jesus' time, first century Palestine, and what the weddings were like. The weddings went on for days. It was a great celebration. And the beginning of the celebration was the coming of the groom to the home of the bride. He would gather her and take her to his own home. And that's what's being described in this reading. And the young women, who were members of the bridegroom's family, would accompany him in this procession. And when it was done at night, they would lead the way with candles, with these oil lamps, in order to let the people know that the bridegroom was coming. But we're told here that among these young women, five of them were foolish, and five of them were wise. The foolish ones were those who forgot to bring oil for their lamps. And the wise ones were those who were prepared. They all fell asleep because the bridegroom was delayed in his coming. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, he comes. And those who didn't have the oil became aware of their lack. And they asked those who had the oil, "Give us a share of your oil so we might too welcome the bridegroom." And in a very unchristian way, those wise women, those wise virgins said, "No, we won't give you a share of our oil." So they went out shopping. I don't know where they'd find stores open at midnight, but they went out shopping, and when they were away, the bridegroom came, they went to the wedding, and the doors were locked. And when the foolish virgins came knocking on the door, the response of the bridegroom was, "I don't know you." And then Jesus gives us the morale of the story when he says to us, "Amen, I say to you, stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Now, how do we apply this story to ourselves? Well, in the early church, they began to ask the question, when is Jesus going to come back again? We know that he died and he rose from the dead, and we also know the church says he's going to come again in glory. When is he going to come? And some of them were beginning to die, as we learned when we listened to the words of today's reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. And so the church, when they heard this story that Jesus had told, saw in it a story about themselves. That as we wait for the coming of the Lord, it's important for us to be prepared. That our lamps need to be filled with oil. Because we don't know the day or the hour. But when he comes, he wants to call us to himself into the kingdom of heaven. And he warns us that you and I individually have a duty as we wait for the coming of the Lord to fill our lamps with oil. Now, what do you think of those five wise virgins who didn't share their oil with their friends? Would you have shared the oil? Would it have been more Christian if they had been generous and used half for themselves and gave the other half to others? I think everybody says yes. That's the way Christians should act. But my dear sisters and my dear brothers, there are some things we can't share. For example, there's a young man here who's playing the keyboard. If I came up to you now and I said, "Give me a share of your ability to play at the keyboard," and I sat down, would I be able to play? He tells me I can't do that. Because there are some things you can't share. You can inspire me to learn how to play, but if I'm going to play, I have to practice and do it myself. This young woman here, come here. "Give me a share of your ability to sing."
"I would if I could."
She says, "I would if I could, but I can't."
"If you don't have the ability, it's not going to work."
"If I don't have the ability, it's not going to work. Well, why don't I have the ability? Just give me some."
There you go.
"Well, thanks for trying.
We do the best we can.
But I still can't sing."
"Sorry."
"Because there's some things you have to do for yourself. Thank you, just great. Thank you." And the same things about you and about me. We have the duty to give one another good example. We can encourage our children to have faith, but there are some things we have to do for ourselves. And Jesus is telling us we better get busy now about filling our lamps, because when he comes, he's going to invite us to the wedding feast of heaven. He's the bridegroom, we're the bride, but we won't get in unless we do our part. St. Martin de Porres did his part in an extraordinary way and inspires all of us gathered here today to do our part too. But we have to do our part. It's work to be a Christian. The church is a place where we come to learn how to die, but it's also one of the places we go to fill our lamps, to absorb the wisdom that comes from God, to think like God thinks, and from that to begin to act like God acts. The fathers of the church said the oil in the lamps are the good works of Christians. And when it comes time for our judgment at the end of our lives, we've either done them or we haven't. We can't go to others and say, give me a share of your good works, because it doesn't work that way. We have to have transformed hearts by making our hearts available to the grace and mercy of God. So, wake up. Be prepared. Get ready. The Lord is coming. We don't know the hour or the day, but the church knows that the Lord is coming. And we need to do all we can to make this world a ready place for His coming again in glory. And that begins where? With you and with me. So, Lord, we ask you to inspire us by the example of our holy brother, St. Martin de Porres. Help us to get out of our lazy stupor and prepare ourselves for your coming. Give us hearts that will make you proud of the way we live our Christian lives.